And welcome to Gravel Talk, ladies and gents. Thank you for joining us.
Well, this week in the Spotlight and Squared Circle, we are sitting down with
Greg Gagne, the son of Vern Gagne.
We're sitting down with Larry the Axe Henning.
We're sitting down in the Spotlight and Squared Circle with Ryan Owen,
Darren Corbin,
Zach Gowen.
We're sitting down with Dick Justice.
You're listening to Gravel Talk, keeping you up to date on the Midwestern independent wrestling.
And we are live!
Welcome into Gravel Talk, ladies and gents. Nick Ragnar, AC Riley, Jesse Von Rudin joining you.
Hey, how's it going?
Been
man?
A while.
Hey.
Been a couple of weeks.
Well, it's been a couple of weeks because we've been thoroughly preparing for this week's episode.
Oh, it's so big.
So big, man. So huge.
So big, so strong. Takeover WrestleMania coming up this weekend. That's what we're going to be talking about. We do not have a guest for a couple of reasons.
We don't have a guest because we're going to preview two shows. And we like to go really in-depth with these, so it's going to be a while, so we're not going to have time for it.
And we definitely know how important our opinions are of these pay-per-views to you. But here's the thing, guys, that I find interesting. You know, sometimes I get down on myself and I say,
yeah,
what I think probably doesn't matter. But honestly, I really enjoy listening to other people's previews and predictions, regardless if they're credible or not. Just because I think it's a fun discussion to have, and it's an interesting, you know, thing to hear how people...
So that means you go down to like alleys and find hobos and like, hey, what do you think about WrestleMania?
Yes.
Oh, hey, I like potato salad. That's a great insight. Thanks.
Well, come on, this is lacrosse. You don't have to go down an alley to meet a hobo. You can just park your car on the street and meet a hobo. I mean, it's a different story altogether.
That's exactly true.
Very good point.
Guys, I know we've all been busy. I haven't seen you, Jesse, since we did last week Gravel Talk. But yeah, you know, you get more books at different shows.
You're
gonna be working. Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, we're in Final Act this weekend, and then we're doing a show of AWF that's 5.5 hours away.
Is that this Saturday?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I gotta keep an eye on that then to do the Facebook plug.
Yeah.
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 Are you going to Final Act show?
I don't think so. Probably not.
Nice.
Yeah. Cool.
Nice.
It's going to be a good show, though.
Yeah, it's good. Good. Shaq. Should be a good time. Good time, because that's actually one of the shows we're going to preview for our upcoming shows. All right, here we go. Wisconsin Pro Wrestling, of course, will be at the Shack, which is located at W4768 State Road 23 in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. If you want to find it on your GPS, your best bet is actually to type in the physical address.
Uh-huh.
Then it'll pop up, because if you try the Shack, it doesn't pop up. It just gives you like some random shack in the middle of nowhere.
You will not end up in Fond du Lac, is what you're
saying. Would not end up in Fond du Lac. Of course,
nah.
The WPW heavyweight champion, Joey Jet Avalon, will be there. The Monster of the Midwest, Sadist, will be there. Gorgeous Jordy Lee will be there. And Rip Brian Summers, of course, will be there because he is having his final match. I don't think anyone wants this no-show for their final match.
No.
Anyhow, doors open at 6:30. Show starts at 7. Tickets are $15 for ringside and $12 for general admission. That's Wisconsin Pro Wrestling in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, this weekend.
Another show happening this weekend, this Saturday, ICW Pro at the Boys and Girls Club, 3402 South Meriden Street in Marion, Indiana, featuring former WWE UFC star Ken Shamrock. Doors open at 6. Show starts at 7. All tickets for this event are $10 for ICW Pro. Intense Mania is the name of the show.
So Intense Mania.
It's pretty intense. That's in Marion, Indiana, this Saturday.
Also coming up on Saturday, we got Blue Water Championship Wrestling at the American Legion Post 8, 1026 6th Street in Port Huron, Michigan. Card is not on the available yet, but we do know that former WWE WCW star Buff Bagwell.
You know, that's kind of weird. I'm going to say this much. Maybe you should just get rid of the WWE part because he only had one match in the WWE.
That's what was on the
poster. When did he have a match in WWE?
It was like that. He wrestled Booker T
on
that one episode
like
of Raw.
The super famous thing where it just killed the entire WCW thing.
Yeah, it killed the idea that WCW possibly should have their own show.
That's sad.
Yeah, well, it's not his fault.
Mm. He's involved.
Just kidding.
It's just not.
I'm just joking. You know, I used to have a Buff Bagwell. Buff Bagwell was one of the first action figures that I ever had of wrestling.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, that's true. Are you going to pat me on the back right now?
Yeah. It's
Why?
Okay, Nick. It's okay.
Hey, he was supposed to be the dawning of a new era in WCW, and... I don't know if that really happened. Show starts at 7:30. Tickets are $10 in advance, $20 at the door. It's Blue Water Championship Wrestling, Port Huron, Michigan. It's upcoming Saturday.
All right, cool. Well, those aren't the only shows going on this weekend. There's a ton of wrestling action going on. You want to make sure you check us on Facebook. You know, you just type in the Grapple Talk and like us. follow us, do all that kind of cool stuff, and check out all the cool stuff on there.
We're going to be at RWA on Saturday.
Yep.
Second straight week.
Second straight week working with them.
Yeah, we're going down to Fort Dodge, Iowa. You said that you're going to be over at AWF. Where's that going to be today? I know it's Minnesota.
It's like,
where?
It's like Cambury, Minnesota, which is literally, if I go to the town and I look west and I spit, it's in the Dakotas.
Huh.
Like, that's how far it is from here.
Yep. Can you actually, like, do a videotape of that? Just, all right, that landed in South Dakota.
Maybe. Sure. But, you know, since I'm a video editor, what I'll probably do is, like, speed up, slow it back down, green screen, splash on someone's face, green screen, Dakota.
I like it.
Native American tier.
I like
Native
it.
American tier.
I really like that, actually. How far a drive is that?
It's 5.5 hours.
5.5 hours?
Yeah.
We don't have that terrible one. We have, four, I think?
Yeah.
And Iowa?
And we have a car full of people. So.
All right, who are you guys riding with?
We're riding with Devlin Kane and Nathan Gus, so it's going to be a good time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Devlin Kane got booked there last week when he decided to tag along, and Nathan Gus
also got booked.
He got booked as a referee.
Good for him, yeah.
But then some people got in a car accident and couldn't make it down, and then...
Wait. So some people got in a car accident? Who got in a car accident?
Beast and the guys that he was going to bring down.
So. Oh, man, that
Apparently
sucks.
Beast is in a back brace now.
Holy crap.
Which was weird because we saw him
at BCW. 2 weeks ago?
We saw him at BCW, and then in that span of 8 days...
In that span of 8 days, he was in a car accident in all 8 of those days.
Yep.
That's the longest car accident.
It's a long car accident.
Yeah, dude.
Took a long time.
What is
time.
That? Like, he gets hit one day, and then he's still there. The next day, someone else just runs into it, and then...
Sure.
Car pile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like Groundhog's Day.
Yeah.
Just keeps on reliving the same car accident.
Car wrestling.
Well, that'd be the same day, though. That wouldn't be 8 days of car accident.
But for 8 days, though, he's relived the same day.
Okay, that's fair. Anyways...
All right, cool. Good. So anyhow, big weekend of wrestling because, guys, it's the greatest weekend of the whole year for wrestling fans. And that's WrestleMania weekend.
Most wonderful time of the year.
Oh, definitely. You know, Dallas is going to be overtaken with wrestling promotions. If you want to find out what's really going on down there, make sure you check the interwebs because there's a lot of really good, grimy, independent wrestling going on. Of course, like Ring of Honor is going to be there. Evolve is going to be there. Going to have NXT Friday night, which we're going to be previewing. You have the Hall of Fame.
Access, I assume.
Terry Funk has a barbecue thing going on. You can have barbecue with Terry Funk, guys.
That's awesome. Yeah. Is the Hall of Fame on the network this year, or are they doing it on USA?
It's on the network. And I think they might be doing something on USA where they might show, like, the last hour or at least an hour version of it later in the week, you know? Because I think that's what they've been doing the last couple years.
That's why I know typically if they aired it, even when they aired it like on USA or anything, they'd always show that like that last hour or whatever. But it's very rare to find like the full entirety of it, like unless you'd go on YouTube and somebody just recorded it or something like that.
Yeah, I think you got a really solid Hall of Fame class this year. Congratulations to everyone being inducted this year into the Hall of Fame. Well deserved.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Hall of Fame's usually actually one of the. I don't know, I think a lot of people sometimes might look at the Hall of Fame and be like, "Oh, it's just people talking. You know, it's not that. You know, it's not that big of a deal to me." But it's always really cool to see because, like, you have a lot of those guys going up there and telling the stories and just, you know, really reliving a lot of the things that maybe you remembered when you first were watching them and things like that. And it's really cool to hear from them because, you know, that Hall of Fame means everything to a lot of those guys. Like, that's like the pinnacle of their career. You know, the pinnacle, the most important thing out of their entire career is not being able to. Just get inducted, but being able to go up there in front of all these wrestling fans who are so supportive, especially during the Hall of Fame, and being able to just say their piece about, you know, how much they loved what they did back in the day.
I think the thing I enjoy about the Hall of Fame
is... The passion is nice to hear.
I mean, like, anybody that gets inducted, like, the reason they're being inducted, you can always look that up for yourself, but I think what's always interesting about it is the person inducting whoever into the Hall of Fame has, like, those stories that you don't ever hear about. You know, because it's like you know, road trip stories or just like locker room stories. So then you hear about that, and it's like, oh, that's an interesting light that I see about this person that's being inducted. Like I didn't see that person as this or something like that. Like when JBL was inducting Farouk into the Hall of Fame, and he had all these stories on the road, and I was like, oh, that's pretty interesting. I didn't know these because I couldn't know that from just history. So.
Well, like, there's a textbook. It's like Farouk history.
I mean, there might be. I mean, don't knock it until you try it.
There is.
Chapter 11. Damn.
Barnes & Noble.
Yeah. I would buy that book.
See?
Yeah. It'd be pretty good. All right.
Friday, though.
Friday, though, we got NXT TakeOver. Six big matches announced. Probably another one, but we're just going to go with the six that we have right now. We're going to kick things off with Austin Aries taking on Baron Corbin, guys. Now, this is an interesting matchup. Baron Corbin basically runs that lifestyle known as fuck independent wrestling, while Austin Aries basically lives a lifestyle of I heart independent wrestling. So, guys, something's got to give here. Is it going to be fuck independent wrestling or I heart independent wrestling?
I think this is a super interesting match because I think, you know, they're really testing Baron Corbin to see if he can get to that main roster. You know, he faced Apollo Crews when he first came in. Now he's facing off against who, quite possibly, you know, Austin Aries, who will most likely be the top guy after Mania, I assume, just because I think a lot of these guys are going to end up getting called up here in the next couple of months. But Baron Corbin has a chance to prove himself here. And I think this actually potentially could be a way to send off Baron Corbin. I don't know if he's ready to get called up necessarily after WrestleMania, but I could see him taking the loss to Austin Aries to set up Austin Aries as a strong competitor in NXT over the next couple of months. And, you know, Baron Corbin doesn't necessarily need a win here anymore, I don't think, just because he's been around for so long. I'm going to pick Austin Aries here, just because when you have a... Actually, you know what? No. I'm saying Baron Corbin.
All right. We got one for Baron Corbin.
Yeah, it's one of those things where with Baron Corbin, his whole thing is that he got snuffed out of the NXT number contendership. You know, he took all his, you know, anger out, you know, when Austin Aries was getting his introduction, beat up Austin Aries, showing that he's still relevant, blah, blah, blah. Austin Aries making it's really his first match, to really make a name. So it's kind of like two different must need to win situations. So it's kind of tough because you think that, okay, well, Baron Corbin kind of needs some momentum to kind of still be relevant. But at the same time, wouldn't Austin Aries get the win because it's kind of like his first establishing match? So I'm just going to say Austin Aries and just, you know.
Alex is going with Austin
Aries. We'll see what happens, I guess.
Yeah, I like both of you guys' points there. I think Corbin is almost ready. He's like this close. I think he has to work that main event program at some point in time with someone on NXT. Maybe he'll be on this next little loop. Austin Aries, the guy is going to be gold no matter what for them. Depending if they have plans to bring him up or not, I think he's going to be a good anchor, as you said earlier, for NXT, especially this next year. Because, man, the turnaround from like last year this time to this year has been totally different for NXT. I'm going to have to agree with Alex. I think Austin Aries gets the win. We'll probably see a rematch with these guys down the road. But I think the bigger victor in the bigger picture is probably going to be Baron Corbin because he's going to learn so much.
The only thing, and we'll talk about it a little bit, the only reason I don't like Aries in this matchup is because I feel like if you give Aries the win, it's going to be somewhat similar to what you're going to see with Sami Zayn and Nakamura later on.
Yeah.
Although I think that match is definitely going to be more of a send-off for Zayn, but we can talk about that in a couple minutes.
All right, coming up next, we got the NXT Tag Team titles will be on the line as the Revival. Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder. Can you guys actually tell the difference between these two guys?
One's got a beard, one doesn't.
But which one's which?
That's
pretty
sure
question. Wilder is the guy with the hair on top of his head.
Yeah, Dawson's right? The one with the mutton chops, isn't it?
Yeah, he's got the mutton chops. Yeah. Like, he looks like Milton Van Buren.
I can still sometimes don't know the difference between both of them, and that's okay because I think they're awesome. I like American Alpha in this match simply because I think, in my opinion, and this could be totally wrong, I think the Revival has nothing left to do in NXT. I think they've proven that they're great on the mic. They can work a match with literally anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're main roster ready after WrestleMania, especially if they need somebody moving forward in the tag team division, you know, because the League of Nations, I don't know what they're planning on doing after WrestleMania. You still have the New Day. The Usos have been there and done that before. You know, I mean, you don't have a ton of options left after that. I think, you know, and the American Alpha is just so hot right now, and they're so over right now that I think if there is a time to put the belts on anybody, on somebody else, it's right now. You give American Alpha the belts, maybe give the Revival their rematch here in the coming months, and then you can boost the Revival back up to the main roster because I think out of all the tag teams right now that are in NXT, they are definitely ready to go up, and I think they would, I think they would translate extremely well to the main roster just based on how they, you know, act and how they work in the ring.
Who you got, Alex?
I really, really like the Revival right now. I really enjoy their tag match with Team Soft, Enzo and Cass. I really enjoyed that match. I think I'm going to go with Nick, though, because it's one of those things where, you know, the Revival's kind of beaten everyone there is to beat. And I think what's going to happen is that the title will change hands at TakeOver, just because then if you have American Alpha with the tag belts, because they are hot right now and they have a huge amount of momentum going, that opens the door for a feud with the Vaudevillains, a feud with Blake and Murphy, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It opens the opportunity for more tag feuds because of American Alpha.
Who's the new signing that NXT just had?
The Mighty Don't Kneel.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so I think it's one of those things where you open the door for a new tag champions to have more feuds that maybe you want to see that haven't gotten the chance to. Because, yeah, I mean, American Alpha has faced off against the Vaudevillains. They face off against Blake Murphy, but it's always been in, you know, a couple mini matches, and they've been great, but it's not been an actual feud. It's just kind of been, hey, they're pairing off. Who's going to be the number contender? Okay, it's these guys. All right, moving on. So, I mean, at least with the Revival, like, they've been feuding with Enzo and Cass for over the course of weeks, but they haven't been touching each other. They've just been, you know, cutting promos and this and that. I mean, I think it's going to be American Alpha as far as TakeOver goes.
You know, I would go with American Alpha, but this is the reason why I'm not going to. A couple of weeks back, they actually had that beautiful video package they put together about how they had struggled through amateur wrestling and stuff like that. I think there's more of a story with them losing this match wherein everyone thinks they're going to win. I think there's more of a story there. That's why I got to go with the Revival. Because what better way to keep that story going for American Alpha, where they fail, but they come back, they fail, they come back, then have them fail and then come back. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go with Revival.
See, I didn't.
And then hopefully they don't bring him up to the main roster and give him a Southern Baptist gimmick. Then I'm just going to.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, I mean, I didn't even.
We're going to lay hands on you, and then we're going to break them.
See, that's the thing I like about the Revival, is that their entire gimmick is that they don't have a gimmick. And they're just. They go in, they're right to the point, and they're nothing fancy. Like the sign is no flips, just fists. Like, I love that their tag team gimmick is just a throwback to like old school tag team wrestling.
Yeah, basically, someone went in a time machine and brought back Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard.
Exactly, and that's what I love about them, is that they're not some fancy gimmick. They're just, hey, we like to wrestle and we're really good at it.
Hmm. So you don't need a fancy gimmick, guys. You don't need to be a time-traveling robot. All right, coming up next, we have Apollo Crews taking on Elias Samson. And this one's going to be an interesting matchup. I think this actually gets, if you're actually listening to this before you watch NXT this week, this match is probably announced on Wednesday. So,
spoiler alert.
Not really.
They probably already taped it. But anyhow, Nick, who you got in this one, Crews or Samson?
It's not that big of a spoiler, I don't think.
The Drifter or...
Happy
Apollo
guy.
Cruz.
Happy guy.
Happy guy.
Last week, Apollo Crews ran in and made a save on Johnny Gargano against Elias Samson, so you can see this match is getting set up. This is probably the toughest match for me to call, I guess, on this card. I guess I want to say I'm going to go with Elias Samson. I mean, Apollo Crews has absolutely no momentum. Whatever that guy had just totally died, I think, a couple of months ago. I don't know why, but I know WWE is pretty big on him, but Elias Samson finally got the... I understand the old school mentality of booking a guy to just beat all these, you know, jobbers and things like that, but I just, for some reason, to me, I just don't think that works in this day and age, because it makes him look kind of strong, but it almost sets him up when he has a match like this against a guy like Apollo Crews, where you're kind of just like, I don't know. Like, it was the same thing with Apollo Crews when he went up against Baron Corbin and then he lost, and it almost seemed like it just derailed everything because Apollo Crews was so hot for this long period of time, worked Baron Corbin at the TakeOver, lost, and then all of a sudden it just was like,
wrestled Finn Balor and lost.
And then he wrestled Finn Balor, and then it's like, so he went on this undefeated streak, and then he had a couple quick losses, and now it seems like his momentum just fell. I don't like that idea, but I think, you know, Elias Samson has some stuff going for him. I think he's a lot of people don't like him, I think mainly because of the guitar gimmick, but I think he's a great worker. I mean, we saw that when we saw them live, when he actually had an extended match, and he looked fantastic. I think Apollo Crews might need a victory here, too, to stay relevant, just because I think a loss here could really hurt him as well. But I think there's more stock in Elias Samson moving forward, and he's got more TV time. So I think you'd be hurting a guy that you've been building up more if you gave Elias Samson the loss here. So I think that the thought process is give Samson the win here and try to figure out what you're going to do with Crews later on.
Who you got?
So you're saying Samson, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's tough because it's one thing where, okay, Crews has no momentum. It'd be a nice, you know, resurgence of his momentum, getting a win here at TakeOver. Same time, it would kind of, you know, be able to break that formula that they always have where they give, like, a heel this undefeated streak by killing jobbers, and then he goes up against someone that isn't a jobber, and then he loses. Then it's like, what was that entire point?
They kind of already killed that last week when he lost to Gargano.
Yeah, so it's one of those things where it kind of makes sense why each of them would get a win.
His attention drifted.
Exactly. So I guess I say Cruz just because I feel like they're going to do more with Cruz than they can with Samson. Because they can, I mean, if Samson loses this match, he goes back to working jobbers, and it's going to be like, okay, like, what happened? But if Cruz loses, it's kind of like, all right, you keep losing, losing, losing. Okay, what are you doing? So I would say Cruz.
You know, there's something to be said about Apollo Cruz and his lack of momentum going in, like you said, Nick. He's a guy. He's a top-tier talent. And yeah. I think right now it's kind of weird, though, because you're going into TakeOver, and this guy probably was pegged for a top spot, and he's working a mid-card feud against Elias Samson.
Yeah.
So you almost want to give him the win to get him back on track. But at the same time, though, it's maybe a loss wouldn't hurt him in the long picture, because you're looking at a guy who's basically been a squeaky clean babyface this whole time. I mean, it gives him a little bit of edge. Who knows? I'm going to have to agree, though, with Alex. I'm going to have to pick Cruz. I'm going to say we're going to see a little bit different Cruz in this matchup. Maybe his button's going to get pushed a little bit, and he sends a drifter packing.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay, of course, this one has got a lot of people excited, as one guy is making his debut, and another is probably gone now.
Yep.
Up on the main roster, Sami Zayn takes on Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah. Thing I think that's kind of funny about this is Sami Zayn has possibly – maybe one of the most exciting matches all weekend long. Like, let's be honest. Like, this might be for a wrestling fan that knows a lot about, you know, maybe New Japan and stuff and has followed Nakamura. This might be, honestly, for a lot of people, the most exciting match because they want to see how Nakamura translates to WWE. And then all of a sudden, Sami Zayn is in a multi-man ladder match on Sunday. So this guy has a lot on his plate this weekend.
We'll get to that clusterfuck later.
We will get to that later. Anyways, you know, being, you know, one of the sheep, speaking for the herd, I honestly think this is probably my top two, top three matches I'm looking forward to this weekend as well, just because, you know, I knew a pretty good, decent amount of Nakamura a little bit, but then, you know, like, this past week when I was actually working at the radio station, I went back and just watched a ton of Nakamura, and I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so excited to see how they're going to use him, because, man, that strong style looks so freaking devastating. I'm wondering how that's going to translate to NXT. I think Nakamura needs to get a win here. Sami Zayn's on his way out. I think Nakamura, with his age and stuff, I know that you want to try to rebuild NXT, but this dude, I think, could definitely make it in the main roster, and he needs to be pushed to the moon right away to make sure that he can make that transition quick enough. Like, honestly, I think if he would have, you know, maybe been introduced around the time AJ Styles was, I think he could have been main roster ready and been doing what AJ's doing right now, but I think Nakamura gets a win here because Sami Zayn's on his way out. And I think Sami Zayn's going to be a viable threat in the Sunday, the WrestleMania match, but we can talk about that in a little bit.
All right, cool. So Nick's got Nakamura. Alex.
I am going to agree with Nick because it's for the exact same reason that Nakamura is making his debut. He needs a win to establish that he was worth all the hype and, you know, all the pomp and circumstance, really, with him actually being brought in from Japan. Whereas Sami Zayn, like, he made, you know, he was already involved in the Open Challenge before his injury. He came back for the Royal Rumble. He's involved in WrestleMania. So, needless to say, he's definitely making that move to the main roster. So, he could win, he could lose, he would still get brought up. It's not like, if you lose, we're going to recede our offer to bring you up to Raw. Like, no, you're going to go up to Raw no matter what, just because they're looking at him in that retrospect. Because that's exactly what they were doing with Kevin Owens, was that he was NXT champion, but he kept feuding with John Cena. He kept coming up on the main roster, and then he eventually just made that final transition. So, yeah, I say Nakamura gets the win.
Yeah, Nakamura is going to probably kick Zayn's head off.
Yeah.
We're just going to put it at that. It's going to be a fun time. But do you guys think they're actually kind of wasting Nakamura on NXT on a Friday night instead of putting him at WrestleMania on a Sunday?
Yes.
Okay.
I think, you know, we heard about the signing a really long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was just timing. I mean, obviously, you know, it's a big change for him. He's moving to the United States. He has to find a, you know, maybe all this other stuff, family.
Imagine
family
him trying to, like, find an apartment to live in.
He's so charismatic, I feel like I have to lower his rent.
A dollar a month.
I don't know if it was a timing thing, but, man, I really think that he could have definitely made it to WWE. He could have really translated well to WWE, especially with how they're building him in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
He's quite possibly one of the most popular professional wrestlers in the world next to AJ Styles at the time when AJ Styles was signed. He has the size. He has the look. He can speak English. Like, and they're paying him so much money, I just can't see. This is going to be a fantastic match, and I think this match is definitely going to put a lot. Like, this match alone, like, if you take this match away, still fantastic card, but I think this match literally by itself is drawing a lot of eyes to the network simply because Nakamura is in it and because people want to see, like I said before, how he's going to do. But, yeah, I think, like I said, I think he can't stay in there very long because of how much the potential that he has to really make a difference on the main roster. Yeah, I think if he would have been introduced maybe a month ago, WrestleMania would have definitely been an option, even if it was just in that stupid Intercontinental match.
Yeah. Which we'll talk about a little bit later. All right. So we're in our top two final matches now as Bayley defends her NXT Women's Championship against Asuka.
Man, I think people's mouths have been watering for this match for a very long time. Mm-hmm. Bayley is quite possibly, in my opinion, like top three workers that can tell a story in the ring. Like every match that she has, you know, first of all, she's a great technical worker. And then when you actually watch the match too, it's like those big championship matches, whether it's against Eva Marie, you know, Nia Jax, or, you know, her huge matches with Sasha Banks, or the one against Carmella. You know, they always told just a fantastic story. Like, it kept you involved in the storytelling of the match, not necessarily like the spot festing or, you know, even the technicality of it. And then you have Asuka, who's just a fantastic worker. Like, she's great. As far as picking a winner, like, this is so tough for me because I think, you know, Asuka's been on such a roll. They could take the belt off Bayley, but I think Bayley is so important in carrying that women's division. But I think I really think Bayley is going to get called up after Mania. So I'm going to say Asuka because I think Bayley's time is ready. It makes me kind of nervous talking about Bayley getting called up because I don't know how that division's going to fare after she leaves.
Yeah.
Like, Asuka's really good. Nia Jax is really good. They have some good younger talent there. I still like Eva Marie. But, you know, it's just like, I don't know how it's going to be, but I think now is the time to call Bayley up because I think they're going to try to work a summer program with her here eventually doing something. And I think Asuka gets a win here, and we'll see how she can fare as the top woman in that division.
Who you got?
I think Asuka gets the win as well, just because, you know, again, Bayley definitely will get called up soon. I mean, especially with everything going on, WrestleMania with the triple threat, it would make sense to kind of bring her in to kind of, you know, keep everything, you know, fresh opposed to the same thing over and over and over again. Plus, too, I mean, Bayley's kind of beaten everybody that there is to beat as far as NXT goes. So, you know, if she beats Asuka, where she do that? It's kind of a tough question. Whereas Asuka, if she has the belt, you know, they already teased her and Nia after one of the last takeovers when they did that interview segment when Nia Jax was wrestling Bayley. So they teased that. She's had a great match with Emma. She could have something with Dana Brooke. Basically, there's a lot more opportunities. With Asuka as being the new champion, there's a lot more ways that you can keep the women's division fresh in NXT. So I think Asuka wins basically just in the fact of keeping everything different.
I got to go with Bayley. And my sound reason is simply she's extremely important to that brand right now. And I don't know if she's going to get called up right away. I think she's still young enough where she can have an extended run in NXT and help really build that brand. Putting the belt on Asuka, You're looking at really kind of like a turnover, a really rapid turnover, because more than likely, depending on what happens in the main event, we'll get to in a second, you're looking at your top two champions leaving your brand, possibly.
That's true.
I don't know. I like Bayley in this position. I think she can open up a lot of eyes, especially in Dallas. You got the whole WWE universe basically there. She's already opened up a lot of fans' eyes, but it's like the fans that she needs to open up the eyes of now are going to be the casual WWE fans. And I think a lot of eyes are going to be on this show. And with a win against Asuka, Asuka, man, she doesn't need the belt right now.
She doesn't.
I think Bayley needs the belt right now. So I'm going to keep with Bayley as my pick.
See, the interesting thing, too, about Bayley and Asuka, too, is that Asuka has been fairly dominant against everybody that she's...
Has she actually suffered a loss besides, like, maybe a tag match?
I think she has suffered one loss, maybe. But she's been so dominant, too, that I think if you put the belt on her, it seems like there's nobody that can touch her at this point. But the reason I like Bayley so much is, like I said, the storytelling. Like, all of her matches keep you on the edge of your seat.
Yep.
Even against Eva Marie, dude. Like, people were like, oh, man, is she about to lose the belt? The thing about Bayley is that she's a losable but likable and winnable character. With Asuka, you almost feel like if she holds a belt, you're like, who's going to touch her?
Yeah.
Like, there's nobody that's going to be able to take the belt off Asuka. I can see how I can see Bayley coming away, too. I think that's just one of those matches that could go in either direction.
All right,
cool. Like this next one.
All right, this next one, our main event, as Finn Balor defends the NXT Heavyweight Championship against Samoa Joe.
You think about, like, just booking purposes in general, you know, you kind of think it's Samoa Joe's turn. I mean, these guys have already, you know, had their match for the belt, and you think to change it up, maybe it's time that Samoa Joe gets the belt. But then I look at both of these guys, and I think they're both ready to get called up. Like, I don't know why. I think Samoa Joe has been ready since day one. I mean, the guy,
he's got a new fire underneath his ass.
In my opinion, I love Sami Zayn. I love Finn Balor. I love a lot of guys that, you know, I love American Alpha. I love The Revival. I personally think that Samoa Joe is the best worker in NXT, in my opinion. Like, the intensity that he brings, I mean, the guy just, like you said, a fire under his ass. Like, you know, he just seems so driven, and I just do not, I don't understand how he hasn't been called up yet, because I think he could have been at Mania this year, definitely.
Yeah.
Finn Balor the same way. He has a great following. He has the cool entrance. He's a good character. You know, people love him. I mean, he's very charismatic. He could also be, he's also ready to be called up. I don't know if what they're doing with the Balor Club. I don't know if that's going to be an NXT thing or if they're going to introduce that in WWE to kind of give him some backing.
Yeah.
So it's pretty tough here because this is the thing I like about NXT. Like, this whole entire card, I'm like, who might get called up and who might not get called up? I mean, both of these guys could, you know, for the time being, stay in NXT for over the next couple of months, and neither of them can get called up. But I feel like one of them is going to get called up, and it's going to be whoever loses. I still think we should see a Finn Balor heel run in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Man. What do you got? Oh, Jesse.
I'm putting you on the spot, man.
I'm gonna say Finn Balor.
Finn Balor.
I don't think if Samoa Joe wins the belt, I think it needs to be an extended run.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see the point of wasting time and giving Joe the belt and having him sit down in NXT for a couple of months. I think Finn Balor's held the belt long enough now where you can have Joe lose, get called up. Finn Balor, you can try out the Balor Club thing in NXT. Otherwise, you know, if you want to call him up in 3 months, it's not going to hurt him to lose the belt because he would have been probably close to being the all-time, winningest champion in NXT history. So I think Samoa Joe loses here, and we'll talk call-ups then.
I think Samoa Joe actually wins this matchup because I felt like they definitely put a lot of, They had that one match in TakeOver over in London. They put it all out there. I feel like they have to completely keep everything fresh. Otherwise it can be like, oh, it's the same match that we just watched a couple weeks ago. And I feel like Joe's going to have some momentum coming in to actually dethrone Balor. Balor get called up to WWE. And Samoa Joe will have an opportunity to defend against some guys that maybe you haven't seen. So you can see maybe Paul Cruz and Samoa Joe go at it. You can see Austin Aries and Samoa Joe go at it and stuff like that. So I think that there's some more opportunities with Joe getting the belt that maybe we can see some matches that we haven't gotten to see yet.
It really is, Nick, as you pointed out and like Alex is pointing out earlier too, is – you're looking at who's going to win this one based on what matchups are left available. Now, with Balor and the Bullet Club, Balor Club, whatever they decide to do, I don't know. I would say it would be harder just to do it right away on WWE just because you're like, wow, there's a whole group of new guys. Now, with like NXT, it might be easier because you can integrate guys through that taping system so you can spread it out over like, you know, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, whatever. I think Joe's ready for the main event. I think Joe's ready for the main event at both NXT and WWE.
Yeah.
It's tough. This is a really, really, really tough match to call because, it is really tough. It is tough.
Logistic purposes, you want to say Samoa Joe, but when you're talking about getting called up, you think Samoa Joe is ready right now, so you want to.
They always say you want to send the fans home happy, but in this case, Joe right now is red hot as a heel on NXT. If you want to turn Balor heel on NXT, you got to wait.
Yeah.
So let's go with Joe.
All right.
Let's go with Joe on this one, and that takes us through NXT. So we're gonna take a quick break here, so everyone can have some soda water, and I can just look on and watch people drink soda water because I'm gonna bring a soda.
Fantastic. We'll be right back. We'll talk WrestleMania after the break. Don't go anywhere.
Talk about your Psalms. Talk about John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says...
Stop watching your neighbors get undressed. You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Come on, that's not necessary.
All he's got to do is...
Download the latest Grapple Talk podcast on iTunes. Just type Grapple Talk into the search bar. It's not rocket science.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
This is the monster of the Midwest, sadist. There's a couple of things I really, really like. I like to hurt people, and I like Grapple Talk. So I'm going to keep listening.
Hi, this is Corey from Independent Wrestling Apparel. Are you an independent wrestler trying to get t-shirts made or hosted online for sales? Visit us at independentwrestlingapparel.com or email us at indiewrestlingapparel@gmail.com and find out how you can get sponsored today. Are you a fan looking to get a shirt from your favorite independent wrestler? Visit our website at www.independentwrestlingapparel.com today and purchase your shirt of your favorite independent wrestler.
Hi, this is the Minnesota Madman, Doug Meyer, host of the wrestling podcast on the DVM Podcast Empire. One Ball Radio. We recap Raw, NXT, Ring of Honor, and other shows of the week. We interview wrestlers, go back in time with This Week in Wrestling History, and we go, hey, whatever happened to? Check us out on iTunes or DVMPE.com.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Chris Lockman, host of the Smark Money Wrestling Podcast. Join me and my co-host, AJ Jensen, each week as we discuss all things professional wrestling. WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, New Japan, as well as the local indie scene here in Wisconsin. We'll also bring you interviews with some of the Midwest up-and-coming independent stars and where you can see them in your area. You can find us on SoundCloud and iTunes, as well as on Twitter, at Smark Money. Check us out.
Hey, Grapple Talk listeners, this is Chris from Spot Monkey Media. Are you a professional wrestler, a promoter, a business owner? Spot Monkey Media is graphic design for the wrestling professional. We offer design services for t-shirts, event posters, 8x10s, logos, and even ring gear. But if you're not in the wrestling business, we work outside the ropes. Go to spotmonkeymedia.com for more information. Spot Monkey Media. Create your legacy.
Hey everybody, it's me, Darren Corbin. I've always gotten the question, why do I not do my own podcast? Well, I've branched out and I've tried to do Wrestling Reflections and the Wrestlers Reviewing Movie Letter, plus my promos that I flood your feed with all the time. And the number one reason is, when it comes to podcasts, everyone can always find a way to hear myself talk, and there's numerous podcasts out there, but I want to give my endorsement to one very special one. And that'd be Grapple Talk, that covers a lot of the Midwest independent wrestling highlights. See, a lot of the local Midwest wrestlers are the spotlight of the Squared Circle hosts. And that would be Nick Ragnar, Jesse Von Rudin, and AC Riley. And every week on iTunes or Podbean, you can catch their podcast. So I just want to give them a shout out. So if you're asking me why I don't do podcasts and you're maybe looking for my opinion, check them out for all your podcast needs and take a look and keep supporting independent wrestling in the Midwest.
Tune into the Indie Power Rankings reveal every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio, Filling the Void Radio Network. You can also subscribe to Filling the Void Radio Network on iTunes. Give a follow to the Indie Power Rankings on Twitter at Indie Power Ranking, no GS. Instagram at Indie Power Rankings. On Facebook, facebook.com/IndiePowerRankings. You can also go to the website where you can see the top 10 for the week, the tag team top 5, anything else independent wrestling related, indiepowerrankingsipr.wordpress.com.
Well, guys, then on Sunday, it's the granddaddy of them all, WrestleMania 32, the WrestleMania that everyone says is going to be the drizzling shits, but we're still going to go through it right now. We're going to kick off with the pre-show, guys.
All right.
Pre-show, of course, is going to be 2 hours long this year. How do you feel about that?
That's a long pre-show, but hey, I like wrestling, so I'm okay with it.
All right, cool. One of the matches on the pre-show is going to be in, I believe it's a 10 Diva tag match, as the team of Total Diva will be taking on Team Bad and Blonde. That's the name of the team, Team Bad and Blonde.
Yeah. Whatever team Emma's in, because I like Emma, they're going to win.
Bad and Blonde for Nick. All right.
Is Total Divas still airing right now? Because I'd probably say Total Divas, because it seems like anytime there's a Total Divas diva in a match and they're talking about the show being on the air, they always win.
We're not counting pre-show matches towards our actual prediction count because
It's going to be kind of hard. All right, cool. I'm just going to pick popcorn.
Popcorn wins.
Popcorn wins in this
one. Urinals.
All right, the Andre the Giant Battle Royal is returning for its third consecutive year. Of course, previous winners have been Cesaro and last year, Big Show. So, guys, who you got winning this?
Jiminy Snickers.
All right, I can put him down.
I have no idea. I don't even know who's in it.
Neither do I.
Kane,
it's got to be. It's got to be Kane.
I think Mark Henry, because it seems like they're pushing him because of his last year. So I feel like Mark Henry wins.
Alex is picking Mark Henry. I am going to go with none other
than Jiminy Snickers.
Than Heath Slater.
Nice.
Slater.
All the social outcasts.
All right, cool. All right, then that brings us to a tag match. It's actually been brewing for some time, and it's one that we thought was actually be on the main card and possibly a tables format, and that's the Dudleys taking on the Usos.
I have no idea. Dudleys.
Dudleys.
Fuck.
I think, you know, Usos. That could be the, that could be the New Day's foe going forward. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, if the New Day is kind of doing the whole face thing now, I mean.
Dudleys are heels right now.
They are.
They had a great feud when Dudleys came back.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like the stuff they were doing with the Dudleys and the New Day, so they could do it where the tables are just kind of switch around. You know, no pun intended.
Yeah, I did kind of like Team Obvious Bad Guys when they jumped Roman Reigns this past Monday. It was great. Hey, Roman! I got something to say to you. Come over here. Triple H. All right. So we're on the main card now, which is going to be possibly 4 hours long. That's going to be a long time, but, of course, there's going to be a lot of wrestling and some musical acts and some sketch comedy.
Yeah.
And probably 30-minute monologues.
Yep.
And some pyro.
Are we talking about just the New Day's match right now?
Yeah, possibly. And, of course, that's actually the match we're going to talk about right away. As the League of Nations will be taking on the New Day, it's a 4-on-3 handicap match for the tag team titles.
I don't think it's for the tag team belts anymore.
Oh,
I don't think it is either.
It should be.
Yeah, it should be.
It should be.
I think this main. I'm going to, you know, just going to say this before we start talking about it. I think Mania's going to be good this year. I think there's a lot of good matches. I like a lot of the guys that are on the card. But, you know, this is like prime example of just some weird booking I think they're doing. Like the 4-on-3, originally it was supposed to be for the tag belts, and then all of a sudden they like took the tag belts away from the match like 2 weeks ago, I think it was,
which
doesn't make sense. Why would they do that?
I don't know.
I mean, I think the New Day is going to get a win here. I mean, based on what the stock that they're putting into them, I mean, apparently they're going to have like one of the best entrances at WrestleMania this year.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to come out with the tank.
They literally might.
Jess is going to lose his
goddamn. They literally might be the most over in on the card. They could be with that smart audience that's going to be down in Texas. So yeah, I think New Day easily gets a win here because I don't know what you do with League of Nations moving forward.
I think New Day gets the win as well, just because A, they're ducking the Freebirds, so they're obviously going to talk about that, and they're not going to have them induct the Freebirds and then have them lose because it just seems like it's kind of like a it's the weird booking logic, I guess. And also the New Day, you know, moving forward, I think the Dudleys win. I think New Day wins to kind of get them back on track because, as Nick mentioned, what is the League of Nations doing? Nothing. So I think they're going to lose, and they're probably, as far as WrestleMania comes, they're probably going to split up soon because they're not doing anything. Obviously, Barrett's leaving here soon, so, yeah.
That sucks. I actually like the League of Nations guys. I like how just stupid they are.
I just wish they would have booked them a little bit better. Yeah. But, yeah, I like how stupid they are, too. It's funny.
Yep. It's great.
It
like how Rusev just steals stuff.
Us Americans are just like, ha-ha, other countries are dumb.
Yeah, it's too bad. It'd be kind of cool if the match was actually for the tag belts. One of the guys from the League of Nations wins, and he has to pick his partner then.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you can have infighting with the League of Nations. All right, well, I'll just pick the New Day then. All right, cool. All right, cool. U.S. titles on the line as Kalisto takes on Ryback. It's big guy versus little guy. That's actually the guy's nickname is the big guy. And we're not saying it's just a big guy versus a little guy.
Another kind of tough match to pick because I think they could go in either direction. I don't know what – I haven't been watching a ton of Raw, but I think they've kind of, sort of, tried to build this up a tiny little sort of bit. Ryback kind of has a new, like, I don't care what people think gimmick sort of thing, I think.
Yeah, but he's still, you know, making people chant with
him.
But
he's still making people chant. Yeah.
Feed me.
Feed me more.
Yeah.
I don't know what Kalisto's been doing. Has he been wrestling?
Yeah, he's been wrestling. Yeah.
I think Kalisto's really exciting. I think he has a pretty bright future ahead of him. Ryback. I don't know if you guys can see my face, but I just have no idea what to do here. Kalisto.
All right, Kalisto for
Nick. That.
I say Ryback.
The Ryback.
Kalisto's going to do it for 80. So we'll put him down. All right, cool. That moves us right into
really
the back.
Yeah, sorry. What? Talking about luchadores. Where's the best place to watch Lucha Underground?
Supposedly they're supposed to sign a 3-year deal of coming up here with Hulu.
But if I want to watch season one, where can I go to watch season one?
I actually just get a hold of Dustin. He's got season one on Blu-ray.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is he going to be at ACW on Friday?
That's a good question. How about how let me do a shout out right now because I know he watches, you know, listens to the show.
Probably not.
He probably, if he does, Dustin, hey man, if you're gonna actually be in Oshkosh for ACW,
bring Lucha Underground and I'll buy it.
Yeah, Nick will buy it.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. We're gonna go into the big IC title match now as Kevin Owens will be defending against Dolph Ziggler, Sami Zayn, The Miz, Stardust, Sin Cara, and Zack frickin' Ryder.
What?
Yeah. That's the match, man.
Apparently McMahon has been really liking Zack Ryder lately.
I don't know how this match got put together.
Well, Owens hates all these guys, and all these guys hate Owens.
I like six-man ladder matches or whatever, seven-man. I think they're fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do a process of elimination. Can I see that?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so we have
Owens. Not Owens. I think he can work a main event picture with Reigns after Mania.
Okay.
Oops, sorry. Broke that kayfabe.
That's okay.
So no Owens. Ziggler doesn't need it. Neither does Miz. Sin Cara won't win it, let's be honest.
Actually, he'll be booked to win it, and then he'll botch that.
I don't know. I don't think Stardust will win it. I'm down to Zayn. I'm down to Zayn and Zack Ryder. And
Even though Stardust had the most adorable shot on Raw history when he was laying in the ring, just like this.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty cute.
That was cute.
The only reason I kind of like Zayn in this is because it can kind of, if, I don't know how big they are on NXT carryover, but it's like, hey man, I finally won a belt back from you, Kevin Owens. Like our gimmick went full circle. Mm-hmm. But I think after this pay-per-view, you could easily do Owens and Zayn without the belt as a feud.
Yeah.
For Extreme Rules. I'm going Zack Ryder.
All right, who you got?
Zack freaking Ryder, dude.
See, you know what the terrible thing about that is? I'm driving into work today. And I'm listening to Mike and Mike, and I'm like, you know what? Zack Ryder's got a shot. I went straight to Stephen A. Smith.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did for a second.
You, like, said that out loud?
I did.
Nice.
I'm going to say Sami Zayn, because just like when Kevin Owens had his double shot with TakeOver and whatever pay-per-view it was that, right after that, I remember he lost to Balor, and he won his match in the WWE pay-per-view. So I think it's going to be exactly that, where Sami Zayn loses to Nakamura, and then he wins the ladder match. And everybody's going to be like, it's out of nowhere. But I think it's going to happen. Because I think Owens has had his, you know, he's been doing a lot with the belt, kind of with the process of elimination that Nick just gave us. I feel like that's kind of how he's going to make his impact on the main roster, is that he wins the Intercontinental belt, and then they kind of keep the thing going on with Owens and Zayn.
I'm picking Kevin Owens. This is the reason
why. Promo hand?
Promo hand time.
Promo hand.
All right. I can just see it. Raw the next night. Owens just gloating that he actually survived the ladder match.
He would definitely do that.
Beating as fuck, right?
Lose the belt to Zayn.
Lose the belt to Zayn on Raw. Come on. Perfect place for Zayn to win the belt. That Raw after Mania crowd. I'm going to go with Kevin Owens.
Good storytelling, Jesse. It's a great way to write it if you hadn't told me.
Yep. So we're going to go with Kevin Owens. Okay, cool, guys. So this next match is actually an interesting match because, number one, it's the only match that doesn't have a title or a gimmick attached to it. And, of course, that's Chris Jericho taking on AJ Styles. How crazy is that? That's the only match that doesn't have a title or a gimmick attached to it.
That's what they got to do, and I think this match could steal the show. Cool Dad taking on younger
redneck hip rookie.
Younger hip dad.
Younger hip dad.
Yeah. AJ Styles is on his way to being cool.
So Chris Jericho is the dad that forces you to join T-ball, and AJ Styles is the dad that forces you to join
AJ
soccer.
Styles in TNA looked like too early and doesn't know how to be a dad. Mm. Like, had a kid when he was 18, and this, you know, he had like the choker necklace and the hair. He looked exactly like he had a kid when he was 18.
Yeah.
And was like, I don't know how to have a kid, man, so I'm just going to keep going to high school and trying to not fail math.
Well, apparently he knew how to have a kid. It's called intercourse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? So,
yeah.
But I think this is going to be a really good match. Jericho, what has Jericho's gimmick been the past 5 years? Putting people over.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's going to do with AJ Styles and put him over here tonight.
All right, so you're going to go with AJ Styles.
Yes.
I'm going to go with AJ Styles as well. I think definitely a huge win at WrestleMania would definitely skyrocket his career. And obviously Chris Jericho doesn't really need to skyrocket anything because he's already been at the top for a long time. So.
Can we give Jericho one last title run? His heel His heel run in the past like month has been awesome.
Yeah. You want Cool Dad as champ?
It's fantastic. I love it. All of his promos are great. It's great. I love it.
Yep. You know what? They should really team him and Triple H up together, and they could be the Cool Dads.
Oh, yeah, they should. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah. They're just really let's go with AJ Styles on this one. This match has got potential to really steal the show. I think that's what they're kind of going with because they didn't attach anything else to this
match. And
we've
already seen these guys wrestle 3 times.
Uh-huh.
And every time it's still fantastic. That's mm-hmm. That's when you know you have special talent is yep. when they can work that many times on TV or pay-per-views and still put on great matches.
Yep. All right, cool. Now, this one's actually being a very interesting matchup. It's a triple threat match for the Divas title as Charlotte defends against Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch.
That's a tough one to pick.
Mm-hmm. But think about this, guys. Last year at this time, Divas title not even defended on the show. These three women weren't even on the product at this point in time. Mm-hmm. Now here they are, granted stage of them all, vying for the Divas title.
I think WWE really likes Charlotte a lot.
Yep.
I don't see why Becky or Sasha needs the belt. What's really cool, though, is that Becky is getting over a lot with the...
Becky's getting over very organically.
Yeah, because, yeah. You know, you figure when... In my opinion, when I knew these girls were all getting called up, I kind of saw Charlotte, obviously. She has the pedigree. She has the look. She's definitely going to make it. Sasha just has that in with the crowd where you're like, well, Sasha will make it. And I thought Becky Lynch might have been the GOAT, where she might have been the one that... Maybe falls on the wayside.
It's a mean thing to say about a
young
lady.
I know, but and Becky Lynch is probably my favorite of those three. But but now like we just talked about, she's getting over organically. She honestly might be the fan favorite of those three to the casual fan at least.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see why Charlotte needs to lose the belt. So I'm just gonna pick Charlotte because I think there's already gonna be a lot of title changes on WrestleMania night anyways.
Who you got?
It's tough because Charlotte seems like a pretty odds-on favorite to win because that's how it's been going for the past couple months. Sasha Banks, she's inducting Snoop Dogg, right?
I don't know.
I feel like that's going to happen because they're cousins. And who else would induct Snoop Dogg at that point? Because nobody said, like, I don't think Snoop Dogg did anything.
Dr. Dre?
Well, either way. and, I mean, I want to say Sasha Banks just because I said that the New Day was going to win because that they were inducting the Freebirds.
So you're going to go with your Hall of Fame booking logic?
Well, that, but at the same time, I feel like just because Becky Lynch has been getting over organically, what better WrestleMania moment to talk about for the next couple months than, oh, Becky Lynch overcame the odds and she won the belt, but she won the belt at WrestleMania. It was a big deal, blah, 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 blah. So...
I'm not answering the phone. It's from Milwaukee. I have no clue who it is.
I'll go with my Hall of Fame booking logic, and I'll go with Sasha Banks.
I like your Becky Lynch logic more. I'm going to say this for you. Actually, Jesse, who do you got?
No, Becky Lynch. I'm going to say Becky
Lynch.
You're
going to go with... I'm going to go with Sasha Banks.
Nice.
Now, this is the reason why I'm going with Sasha Banks. There's something... I think sometimes WWE really tips their hat the direction they're going to go based on what they're doing with their online content.
Yep.
This past, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, they've really been pushing Sasha Banks' journey to WrestleMania. That's why I got to go with Banks. I think Banks is really
hot. Oh, that's
hot.
Right. They just did this whole thing about her diary, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just saw that this morning, too.
Yeah, yep. Banks coming in is really hot. Charlotte is really hot. Becky Lynch is really hot. So I'm just gotta give.
We're talking about their wrestling matches,
yes,
not
of
how
course.
They look.
Yeah, but they're all three of them are
pretty attractive.
Smoking yep. aces.
I think, and the best part about this match, you guys, that I want to say is, you know, we kind of been talking about a lot over the takeover in WrestleMania, like a loss can hurt somebody. I think no competitor.
No one hurts.
No, I don't think anybody gets hurt in this match because you know what I think this match is gonna do. Is I know we've seen great women's wrestling on NXT, mm-hmm. and we've seen great women's wrestling with Charlotte as a champ over the past couple of months, but I think this match, the spotlight in front of 100,000 people in Texas, mm-hmm. will put the Divas division on the spot in WWE. So I think, you know, this people are going to walk away from this match not remembering who the winner is. They'll walk away being like, holy shit, that was a really good match.
I mean, we were talking about that Jericho and Styles could easily steal the show.
That this match
I mean,
could easily
that triple
steal
threat, right, even if it doesn't steal the show, it's going to be damn near close. Like, it's going to be one of those matches where it's like, yeah, the main event was something, but man, that triple threat, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's
that makes me so excited. I love it. Yeah. I like equality, man.
All right, cool.
It's all about
so
glass ceiling bullshit.
We are moving into basically the three main events for the evening as Brock Lesnar takes on Dean Ambrose in a no disqualification match.
Poor Kaiser.
This is a really tough one. You guys want to talk about? I don't think there's anybody more hot in the company than Dean Ambrose right now. Brock Lesnar has been made out to be the unbeatable conqueror, whatever you want to call him, ever since he came back. I mean, literally unstoppable, had a great WWE title run, beat The Undertaker. Literally the only way to beat this guy is if you're Triple H.
Well, I mean, steel and nut shots, from what I heard,
steel
is
and nut
the,
shots also work
the theory.
If you're Undertaker. Yep. If you are dead...
John Cena gave him the attitude adjustment on Steel Stairs and beat him that way.
Oh, that's right. Well, John Cena also got worked like he was a 10-year-old boy first, too.
Yeah.
All right.
Undertaker, what I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. What I'm trying to say is that I think this is Dean Ambrose's time to win. I mean, especially if you look at – I mean, let's just talk about the next three matches. I think we all know that Reigns is probably going to get booed. Undertaker and Shane McMahon, I mean, that's going to go either which way. And if you – I just can't see Dean Ambrose losing this match, man. I mean, you have to have that happy moment at least at some point in the final three main events. And I think Dean Ambrose is the obvious choice here, just a booking logic, especially with how Brock Lesnar's been booked. Brock Lesnar, I don't know what his plans are after this. I don't know his booking dates. I haven't looked into that. But, you know, Dean Ambrose is just so freaking hot right now. You can do just about anything with him after Mania at this point. And a win here would – I think a win here – would do what it, in a sense, what it did for Daniel Bryan at 30, is it would skyrocket him to being like, okay, now this dude is legit, like, for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's what the match with Triple H did, but this match would equally do the same thing. And it's a street fight, you know, this is like Dean Ambrose to the T. I think Dean Ambrose pulls out a victory.
I think Brock Lesnar has proved from last year's WrestleMania that he can lose and lose absolutely zero momentum in the process. So I think because it's a street fight, I think that's how Ambrose gets a win. And on top of that, I feel like they're going to set something up where they would have a feud until Extreme Rules as well, because that would make sense. So I say Ambrose gets a win.
I'm going to go with Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar.
This is the reason why. You talk about Lesnar right now as the type of guy who can actually eat a loss and still not lose any momentum. I think Dean Ambrose is in that spot too. I think Dean gains more by getting his ass kicked by Brock Lesnar and losing than he does getting his ass kicked and somehow winning by a fluke. Mm. You know, there's just something to be said about it. Because, like, Dean's the type of guy, like, we've seen it for the last, like, 10 months. He's basically lost every fucking match, and he's still hot as hell. Mm. Fuck, what eating one more pinfall against
you
Brock Lesnar?
You just basically
Lesnar.
Told me that if he wins this match, he'll be skyrocketed.
Yeah, I know. I understand that. I did. but eating another loss to Brock Lesnar is not going to hurt him in any bit. And I think he's still going to come out looking golden.
Yep. Yeah.
So I got to go with Lesnar.
I agree with that.
You know, Lesnar is the new taker at Mania. And he didn't really technically lose. He just wasn't involved in the pinfall decision last year.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So we're going to go into a match that actually has a lot on the line inside the Hell in a Cell as The Undertaker takes on Shane O'Mac.
All right, smarky things, you know.
Should we actually lay down the ground rules of the match? Like, what's at stake?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so if Shane wins, control of Raw. And The Undertaker loses.
Undertaker wins, I don't know what.
Undertaker wins, he can still perform at WrestleMania, and Shane O'Mac has written out of the will.
Yep.
Yep.
I would like to say this isn't... There's so much here. So if you read a lot of the fucking dirt sheets and stuff, sorry if you're listening. This is a wrestling podcast, so, you know, get with it. If you want to shut the podcast off right now, go ahead and do it. A lot of people are talking about there being a brand split, right?
Yeah.
Best way to seem to do that would be Shane wins this match, takes over Raw. You have Authority taking over SmackDown or whatever, because they're trying to build SmackDown to be that A show, right? You know, in my opinion, a brand split is how you do that. Mm-hmm. You know, you have more top guys over on SmackDown, create your own storylines. If that's what you're trying to do, brand splits work. Because when we saw the first brand split, however long ago, in my opinion, for a while there, SmackDown was
like 14 years.
In my opinion, SmackDown was the better show at some juncture. SmackDown was the must-see show overall at one point. So I think if you're trying to make SmackDown that A show, this is an easy way to do it. especially putting Triple H in charge of it or whatever. You know, kayfabe in charge, but I'm sure that he'll have a booking aspect to it as well. He'll probably have a booking aspect to both shows, even if he kayfabe is only on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Same time, when you look at, I think this is going to be a fantastic match. I mean, their little moment on Raw, I mean, you could tell
a lot of people are hyped about that.
Shane McMahon's still a little squirmy a little bit. You know, it seems like he still doesn't have his feet from under him, but I'm sure he's training in the ring, like, literally every day, because this is going to be a huge match, because Triple H said this match should go on last, if you remember that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you almost don't think that for a retirement match, this just doesn't seem, just doesn't feel like it would be Undertaker's way to go out.
Last ride.
It wouldn't be his last ride.
Yeah.
I don't know who his last ride would be against, because in my opinion,
well, you know, hopefully he thinks Michelle McCool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That happened.
Pull her up there.
Yep.
That's why I think this match is so great, because it pulls you on both sides of the spectrum, and you just don't know who's going to win. I mean, part of me is rooting for Shane McMahon, because I'm so nostalgic over that dude. Like, that was growing up, was Shane O'Mac falling off freaking Titantrons and stuff.
I like how you're some people are nostalgic for a hero being, you know, a conquering hero coming over the odds. Shane O'Mac's like, oh man, I just loved it when he fell off shit.
No, but he put together great matches regardless if he was falling off shit or not.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm so. I could see Taker getting the win here, and Shane doesn't get Raw, but he takes over SmackDown, and that's how they do the brand split.
So you're taking Taker?
I'm going to take Taker, because they said that it's control of Raw. Mm-hmm. He doesn't win, doesn't get control of Raw, and then he pulls the whole shit where he's like, oh, but I got SmackDown, Hurricane Smurgans. Time for a draft. Which, guys, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm super pumped for a draft. I love the draft. I love that there's a reason to watch SmackDown so you can see Kevin Owens, because he's not going to be on Raw. Like, I love that idea. And I hope they do it, because I think it put a lot of stock into both shows. And I hope they do the whole thing, like, champion travels to both brands. Because
I love that.
I hated when they had the both belts. It was dumb.
All right, cool. So anyhow, we'll have our draft episode of Grapple Talk at some point in time where we'll just draft our own squad. Mm-hmm. So we'll pick it out of a hat. Someone's Raw, someone's SmackDown. The other person gets to create their own show.
Nice.
All right, cool.
ECW.
Who you got?
I'd probably say Shane, just because I feel like there's a lot riding on the line for Shane than there is for Undertaker, because Undertaker wins. Okay, cool. Oh, we'll see him next year. But, I mean, he's getting to that point where he's got to call his last WrestleMania. So I think Shane wins, because I think there's more going on with Shane in the future than there is Undertaker. Undertaker wins. He's not going to be back until next year, basically.
I'm going to go with Shane O'Mac. I kind of talked myself into it earlier today. I was discussing it with one of my buddies, Rick, over at Mayo Clinic, and I was like, man, you got to go with Shane. Because I think the bigger story would be Taker trying to get his spot back next year at Mania.
Mm.
I think that's a story you can actually have a lot of fun with. You can almost go with the whole Ric Flair route, right? Where Flair had to keep on winning, or else he was going to retire. Taker wants that the main event spot again at WrestleMania. He's got to keep on winning. And then next year at WrestleMania, you finally get him and John Cena.
Yeah, you need to do that before he quits.
And I think that might have been the match they had planned if Cena didn't get hurt.
I think the big thing for Taker, too, and this may just be me, but I think with Taker, if it's going to be his last match at WrestleMania, you don't book it in an angle. I think with Taker, you book it as his last match at WrestleMania, because he's been around for so long and he's such a figure.
I gotta know, John.
Or he loses to Shane and he comes back and it's like, I am American Badass. He's like,
shit.
He's like,
he's out there, rascal. Yeah. Oh, God, he wiped out. He's dead. The Undertaker just hit the barricade.
What's the new game? What is
it? I mean, he sits back up.
What the hell's going on?
Yeah, man, he's like Festus. He just switches gimmicks based on his music.
Good.
All right, cool. Well, anyhow, I'm going to go with Shane O'Mac. I think he can do a lot of really cool things with him winning, even with The Undertaker, with Shane. If we have the brand split, that'd be great. That'd be cool. That'd be something different. It's going to be hard, though, to write 5 hours of TV when they can't even do three.
That's
all right, cool.
That was difficult.
All right, guys, heavyweight titles on the line now as WWE World Heavyweight Champion Triple H takes on Roman Reigns.
I think everybody thinks it's gonna be Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
I could see last minute booking, and we could pull this Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens thing a little bit, where Triple H gets the win, and either we see a title change hands the next night on Raw, because it's not WrestleMania, or we get a rematch in Extreme Rules, because something happens where there needs to be a rematch, because, man, I think we both know that Reigns is going to get booed out of the building if he wins this match. What would be really nice to see, and this is probably just me being, you know, part of the IWC.
So a person with the internet.
Yes.
Yep.
Like a double turn here would be kind of interesting.
Okay.
Roman Reigns turning and Triple H turning. Because, I mean, you're going to see that with the fans anyways. That's how it's going to be treated because Triple H is going to come out there with his King of King entrance. He's going to get cheered like crazy because of his fantastic match with Dean Ambrose. Possibly, you know, so far, obviously, this year has been short, but that's probably match of the year so far in WWE, in my opinion. And then Roman Reigns, people are just booing him now to boo him. They just don't like him. So I'll say Roman Reigns. I guess I don't know how they're gonna do it, but I think he'll get the win. I think they're gonna do something different. I just can't with what's been happening backstage and with how they what they know is gonna happen in front of that crowd. I just can't see them going the normal Triple H Roman Reigns. You know, go at it toe to toe for a half an hour. It's a great match, and then Roman Reigns pulls out the clean victory at the end. I feel like something needs to happen here because otherwise, it's going to be Roman Reigns standing on the turnbuckle, raising the bell, and he's just going to get booed like crazy and Jerry rolled. And I think that would just that would look terrible, man. Like you can do whatever you want with you can do whatever you want with video packages and making it look like he didn't get booed out of the building, but everybody's going to know that he got booed out of the building.
Yeah.
So I think something needs to happen there, but I just. I think it's Roman Reigns' turn to, you know, see what he can do with the belt moving forward. There's a lot of people that could line up and take him on after Mania that I think would work really well for programming purposes. So I'm going to say Roman Reigns. And if Triple H somehow does win, then I think Roman Reigns will win it, like,
eventually.
In the next month. So, who you got, Alex?
I think they're setting it up to be Roman Reigns, so I got to say Roman Reigns.
You're not going to expound on it, or
no? I think that's pretty obvious. Just because I feel like Triple H won the Royal Rumble to kind of establish that. Okay, well, let's kind of get some momentum for Reigns, and then he'll win it back at WrestleMania. I feel like that's what they've been setting up, for a while now. So I feel like that's just going to happen. So I might as well just accept it.
Wow,
yeah.
You sound so defeated.
No, I'm not defeated about it. It's just like. It's one thing where, like, last year, Seth Rollins had the Money in the Bank thing, so even it's like, okay, Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, okay, well, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, maybe Seth Rollins maybe makes his Money in the Bank statement. I called that, and then I was pretty proud of that.
Yeah, but that's the only thing you've been talking about for the last year.
It's not. I've mentioned it in passing once or twice.
A week to us.
No, I haven't.
In passing.
Anyways, so it's
postcards.
It's one of those things where it's not like you have the wild card variety to have, you know, with something like that. You don't have that, so I think it just makes sense that in the booking logic that they just try to make Roman Reigns look super over. So then he beats Triple H, and that's his WrestleMania moment because he didn't get that last year. So I feel like that's why they're setting it up.
I don't think that son of a bitch gets it this year. I like Triple H in this matchup. The reason why I like Triple H in this matchup, and it's not to pick against you guys or pick against the momentum of WWE trying to put a babyface on top. I think right now with Triple H with the belt has been some of his best stuff he's done in a long time, and it really puts a good stamp on the authority. Now, I ended up going with Shane O'Mac winning that match, and I think there's going to be an interesting dynamic if you flip-flop the authority being a babyface group and your champion being a heel. I think there's definitely an interesting dynamic you can do with that because it hasn't been something they haven't done since the early 2000s. That's the cool thing about it, where you actually have to go against a McMahon. It's McMahon's versus McMahon's. It's Civil War, man. It's synergy. It's perfect. It fits really well. With Reigns, him winning the belt, one of two things is going to happen. Either they're going to keep on pushing him as a babyface, or he's going to go out on Raw the next night and say, basically, fuck you guys. Suck my dick. I'm the champion. You're not. You're not. You're not. And he basically says, you're not, you know, about like 16,000 times, you know, like to really emphasize that none of those people are champions. I think one of the wild cards definitely is going to be The Rock. He's probably going to be involved in this matchup. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's for Reigns to necessarily win. It might be set up that way, and then maybe Reigns accidentally punches The Rock with the Superman punch. I would love that. That'd mm-hmm. be great. Mm-hmm. You know, that'd be one of those like, oh, shit, he just fucked up The Rock. And then you can have The Rock and Reigns. Cause I
oh,
think,
that'd be great.
Because The Rock would definitely want to put Reigns over.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And it's one of those things, too, where when Rollins comes back, if you put the Balor Club, if they get hot on either NXT or Raw, at some point you're going to have the Balor Club against the Shield. And that's a money matchup right there. Then they're going to probably wait until next year to do it. It'll be good. I think right now Triple H is your best course of action as champion. So I'm going to go with H. I think give the guy all the shit you want to, but he's been the Rock, no pun intended, of WWE for the last 20 years. I think he gets a big victory here. He does enough to put over other talent. And I think you're looking at the card, you're looking at other guys who could wrestle down the line. You know, a program with AJ Styles would be really good. I think a program with Kevin Owens would be actually really interesting.
Or continue your program with Dean Ambrose.
Continue your program with Dean Ambrose. There's a lot of different possibilities could actually really go with this
Cena.
Guy. Cena.
He'll be back. Face Seth Rollins when he comes back, because we know that dude's going to be over like $1 million.
Yeah.
Which would be great, because then Seth Rollins can finally do his high-flying stuff again.
Yeah.
Because we all know that he stopped majorly doing that because he would get...
He
would get too over.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I think H would be your best course of action, especially if you're worried about a champion getting booed out of the building.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm going to go with Triple H. Cool, guys. And remember, we're not experts about this, so if you have your own picks, you know, hey, you know, follow along at home. But, you know, as Nick just pointed out, just screw you, man.
Yeah. Screw you, man.
All right, cool. Cool. So, we're almost done here. Wrestler's Perspective for this week.
You got one?
Yeah, sure. AC Riley, I gotta know, what would you do if you got stranded on the highway? Like your car broke down.
I feel like there's a story that you have to share with us.
I got a slight story, but
you know. Slight story?
Yeah.
What would I do if I was stranded on the highway? Like, is the car broke, or am I just lost, or like?
Oh, your car's broke. You're done. You're done, son.
And you're in the middle of nowhere.
Well, I mean, I did have my car end up in a ditch, so I just kind of had to sit, you know, with my thumb in my butt until somebody was able to get me out.
Put your thumb in your butt?
No, I didn't, but, I mean.
Wow, that's an awkward thing.
It's one way to keep yourself warm, I guess. I mean, you know, like, I told you about that, where I was.
Well, you told me about going in a ditch, but I'm, like, sticking a thumb up your butt keeps you warm.
No, but, yeah, I don't know. I guess I would just be kind of freaking out because, I want to not be stranded, so I just have to figure out how I was doing that. Yeah, because that really sucked getting in the ditch, because it wasn't like I was like, oh, I'm like 15 minutes away, someone can help me out. It's like, no, I was – no, I knew but I didn't know anybody.
What's your story?
Yeah.
My story is simply this. All right, so I crashed over at Brown's house last week Saturday coming back from Gladstone, and I woke up in the morning. I'm like, oh, man, it's Easter morning. You know, I have risen. This is great. I feel good about myself.
Did you really say that?
No, actually, I didn't. Oh, so I went to actually start my vehicle. I heard a weird noise, so I shut it off, and then I went to turn it again, and nothing. Oh. Absolutely nothing. So I ended up spending like a day and a half in Point. Basically watched the WWE Network, ate Pizza Hut, slept on a very uncomfortable couch.
So you just take off work on Monday?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
What was wrong with your car?
Actually, it was a positive battery terminal running from the battery to, like, the starter area.
Mm-hmm.
That went bad. So, like, we had tested the battery. Battery was fine, all that stuff. I thought it was a starter, which would have sucked.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, like, that's, like...
$400
Yeah, it's like max out the credit card, dude.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like you're not buying food for like a week.
Mm-hmm.
You're not buying comics for like 12 months.
Terminal's not that expensive, is it?
No. It wasn't bad. It was an easy fix. Got back on the road, you know, was cruising down the freeway
nice.
In the hot sun.
That's not a bad way to spend your Easter, though. Maybe the Ryan Brown part of it could be thrown out the window.
He was gone the whole time, so it wasn't too bad.
So you just stayed in this house and...
Yeah, I cruised Tinder, you know.
With Brown's family?
No, actually, at Brown's apartment.
Oh, I forgot that Brown got an apartment.
Yeah. So I cruised Tinder, you know, and, like, I had to put it in within a 10-mile radius because I didn't have any wheels, you know. And
must be able to walk.
You actually have Tinder?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's hit or miss.
It seems kind of like when I went mm-hmm. on vacation to Florida.
Yeah.
A couple of girls on there that we were with were on Tinder, and they, like, let me experience it. Like, they... Let me do their Tinder.
So how many dudes just like hollered at you when you
Oh my gosh.
Really? Was that bad?
Yeah.
Was it holla, holla, holla?
Guys want to get laid.
Guys want to do it.
We are terrible human beings. Yeah. All right, cool. This week on Tape Study, I actually consider this matchup a WrestleMania classic, guys. It's WrestleMania 22. It's for the women's title. It's Mickie James against Trish Stratus.
I just watched that match.
This is a classic. The crowd was hot for this match.
I remember that match actually being upset. Match. Like, I totally watched 22 thinking, okay, Trish Stratus is going to win it. And Mickie James won. I was like, holy shit. Yep. I did not see that coming.
22 had, I remember watching it at a friend's house. And this match stood out to me then, still stands out to me now. It's one of the better matches on that card. And that included Edge versus Mick Foley.
Yeah, that was a really good match.
Yeah, where he burnt his scrotum.
Yep. And they talk about it on the
network all the time.
Yeah. All the time.
All the time.
I burned my scrotum.
All right.
And I burned my scrotum.
All right, cool, guys. Well, we'll probably see each other on Sunday when we get together for Mania. And
Little Caesars?
Yeah, probably something. You know, it sucks. I'm not going to get a chance to watch NXT until maybe Sunday, you know.
I'm pretty sure I'll probably watch it on Friday, so I'll just sit there and be like, I want to talk to Jesse about NXT TakeOver, but I can't.
Yeah, I'd be too busy calling the action at WPW. My phone would be blown up. Jesse,
did you see it? Oh, sorry about that. No, but you need to see this.
Yeah, I hope he gave me like just like false results.
Yeah.
Jesse's just doing commentary while he's streaming the network. And
hey,
Jesse,
like, incredible one. The NXT belt.
Get the fuck out. Yeah. Get the fuck out. That would be my response.
Yeah. Cool. All right, guys. Well, we'll catch you Grapple Talk Heads next week. I don't know when.
Hopefully next week.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. So, yeah, we're going to have a guest next week. We have that already planned out. So, yeah, stick around for that show announcement. Otherwise, enjoy WrestleMania, enjoy TakeOver, and as always, enjoy independent wrestling. Stay classy.
This is Stacey Shadows.
We've said it numerous times that Stacey Shadows is one bad bitch.
And you're listening to Grapple Talk, the best indie wrestling podcast right now known to man.
Thank you for tuning in to Grapple Talk.
Excuse me.
All right?
Yeah, it's like Mr. Sacco is in my mouth.
With Nick Ragnar, A.C. Riley, and Jesse Von Ruden.
Are you getting a Wrestle Rager right now?
I'm getting a Wrestle... you think that's why it's called Wrestle Rager?
I think it might be.
Oh, that's weird.
I don't think it is.
You don't think so?
No. I think it has something to do with it.
No, I think it's a Rager because it's like a party, you know?
What are you doing?
I'm dancing.
Stop it.
Come on.
You don't dance. You can't dance on radio shows.
Yeah,
knock it off.
Yeah,
it off. No.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.